All right, Gavin here, and I'm joined again. It's that time of the month. Well, by Tim O'Rell, and welcome, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Gavin, and good morning to Braidwood.
Right, and you've got quite a busy day today. You've got lots of things happening around the place, I understand.
Yes, a somewhat different day today, and I'll be out and about all over the electorate with our local member, John Barilaro. He'll be making some announcements in regard to a number of QPRC priority projects, and he's also invited me to tag along with him for some non-QPRC announcements and various community projects, I understand, but I don't know the details of some of those yet. But at 10:30 straight after this, I need to be out there at Captain's Flat Road for a funding announcement, and I think that's part of what was committed as part of the elections, state government elections, and I think the money's coming forward for that Captain's Flat Road upgrade. And then we will be at the Captain's Flat RSL and Citizens Bowling Club for some announcement by our local member. Then we go to Bungendore, the Bungendore Park Tennis Club announcement. And then I'll be back in Braidwood with John Barilaro at the Braidwood Memorial Pool at 2:45.
All right.
with the local community for some media and announcements there. So, and then I think after that, we're at the first Braidwood Scouts group at about 3:45. So busy day. Then I'll be heading back home for a Wilhunt rest.
Yeah, sounds like it. All right, well, you mentioned the pool in there. So where we're up to, I noticed there's been a lot of work happening there.
Yeah, well, the refurbishment is progressing well. You know, a very significant leak was found in the pool's original expansion joint system.
Right.
And the main pool and wading pool underwent hydrostatic assessment. The pool was drained and evaporation of water measured against the total loss of water through a control process over a certain period. And after this, the pool was completely drained. So I understand we've completed all the pipe work for the filtered water system, as well as the waterproofing expansion joint and cement rendering at this stage. We've also completed the handrail fixings, lane rope holders and shade structure over the wading pool. And this project was funded out of the $400,000 New South Wales government funded Stronger Communities Fund, in addition to some council funding thrown in also. But the New South Wales government, as we know, has announced $1 million for the Braidwood pool under the Stronger Country Communities Fund. And we're going to be using this funding to undertake stage two of the upgrades, including the installing of solar water heater arrangements, improving the change rooms and the kiosk. And we're also about to seek comments from the public on future upgrades to the pool. And that will be soon up on QPRC's Your Voice.
Right.
For community input, you'll be able to view the plans and comment during June. So I expect that to be up next week, with comments open till the 3rd of July on that further expansion or improvement works that are planned for the pool.
Right. So we won't know ourselves by the sound of it. It'll
certainly be a big difference. I understand we were losing between $5,000 to $10,000 worth of water through that leak per year. So it was pretty significant.
Yeah, fair amount. All right. So the big thing that's on everyone's lips at the moment, COVID-19. So we've got an easing, more restrictions from this coming Monday.
Yeah, well, I know everybody's following this very closely, but yeah, as from Monday, New South Wales residents will be able to, of course, travel regionally.
Right.
Go on your holidays in New South Wales.
Right.
Not in a Queensland, but no. We won't go there. That's a bit sensitive, that border issue at the moment. But look, in addition, a whole range of matters, of course, beauty salons to open for a maximum of 10 clients, subject to 4 square metre rule. I think, significantly. Up to 50 people allowed in restaurants, pubs and cafes, subject to the 4 square metre rule. Bookings of no more than 10 people and patrons must be seated. My son, Nick, he works at the Queanbeyan Golf Club behind the bar, and so he's been part of all this and looking after clients, and it's going to get busier for him next week, but that'll be right across the state. And museums, galleries and libraries across New South Wales are allowed to reopen, subject to, again, the 4 square metre rule. And sports fields are open but only open for recreational use.
Right.
For training, up to 10 people. It's a bit tricky, this. If you actually wanting to train for official competitions and also competitive games, of course, you have to be under the authority and approvals of your local sporting body or right. association
yep.
Who are required to have those approvals through New South Wales Health.
Right.
But there are some issues that we're a bit concerned about, particularly, I think, in Queanbeyan, where there's not an exact alignment with the ACT. Like in the ACT now, from today, actually, gyms, health clubs and fitness and wellness centres will be open. They can have, I understand, a maximum of 20 people training on a field. And some of our teams in Queanbeyan actually have their home fields in the ACT because
right.
we don't, at the present stage, have enough fields in Queanbeyan. So there's these little anomalies. And actually, myself and Peter Teggett, our CEO, have had discussions with the New South Wales Health Minister Brad Hazzard and the Chief Health Officer just this week in regard to suggesting some of these technicalities need a bit more attention about the alignment with ACT New South Wales because people get confused.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, things are happening on the brighter side, aren't they?
All right. And so what impact has it had on council services and operations then?
Well, yeah, a lot. We'll be reopening our customer service centres from Monday.
All right.
And to improve the safety for customers and staff, the Queanbeyan Customer Centre will be relocated to the foyer of the Q Performing Arts Theatre.
Right.
Distancing is a problem where we currently are in Crawford Street. So temporarily, of course, the Q Theatre can't open, but the foyer will be made into a temporary customer service centre. And they'll be open between 8:30 and 4:30 p.m. Monday to Friday. Same for Braidwood. Now, planning, building and development engineering duty inquiries will be available at the Queanbeyan Customer Centre each day. Duty inquiries will still be dealt with by phone at the Braidwood and Bungendore offices in the same way they have since the closure of the customer service centres in late March. So residents will be able to make an appointment at Bungendore or Braidwood by arrangement with the relevant staff member. So, of course, distancing markers and protection screens will be in place at those customer service centres.
So now, just to be clear on that then, so if someone wants to go into either Bungendore or Braidwood office, they need to make an appointment before? They can't just go in like they could before? Or
That's correct. Well, if they want to discuss planning, building or development engineering matters, they need to make an appointment.
Yeah, yeah. And then go in.
And then go in.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So in regard to the library, council's libraries in Queanbeyan and Braidwood are to open on Monday. Bungendore will remain closed because that's part of the Bungendore School.
Right.
And there will continue to be restrictions to ensure the safety of the community, of course. Certain hours in Queanbeyan, Monday to Friday, the library will be open between 10 and 11 a.m. just for those who are more vulnerable to this virus and then from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. to the wider public. Braybrook will be open Thursday to Friday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday 9:30 to 12:30 p.m. and they'll only allow 10 people at a time.
Right.
With sort of health precautions.
Ten, just the 2 days a week in Braybrook.
Right. Yeah. So in addition to that, the government has decided that it's now permissible for councillors and staff to leave their homes for purposes of attending council and committee meetings. So from our next council meeting, which is our planning and strategy meeting on the 10th of June, we will be having our meetings in person. But the New South Wales government has said still no members of the public can attend. We've got to have all those distancing arrangements and 4 square metre rules in place, but we can accommodate council meetings in Bungendore and also Queanbeyan Council chambers. And for members of the public, they can still make, of course, written presentations or make an in-person verbal presentation via Zoom to those council meetings. So that's going to how it's operate. That's how it's going to operate during June for council meetings.
Right. So you don't, you know, as a rule, have council meetings here anyway in Braybrook, do you?
No, we're not set up for live streaming, which is now compulsory for all councils with all the technology, and then so all the desks have got to be hard fixed and wired in and for council meetings, so we don't have that infrastructure in place in Braybrook.
Right, right. Okay.
Maybe that's something for the future, once that project of the Braybrook council offices gets a final tick with funding to rework all that. But
yeah, do an upgrade. All right. So we had virtual community meetings last week via webcast and Facebook with a lot of info, including the council's next stage for Nerriga Road. So where are we up to with that?
Yeah, well, look, just by way of interest, that Braybrook community meeting was fairly well attended. 43 people, I'm told, viewed the community, the virtual community meeting via the live stream
right.
at the time. And the Facebook video has been viewed, the Braybrook community meeting, that Facebook video has been viewed 358 times. So it's getting out there.
It was
quite good. Yeah, but in regard to Nerriga Road, the major work is starting on stage three upgrade. And that stage includes sealing the section of Nerriga Road that runs through the Durrandurra Range between Brightside Road and Grants Road. It's about 3.1 kilometres in length, and this will involve culvert installation, earthworks, drainage work, and installation of guardrails and line marking. And the work also includes upgrades at the intersections with Brightside Road, Cookinulla Road, and Durrandurra Place. So then there'll be stage four, which will be the King's Highway Nerriga Road intersection, and that stage is expected to be underway towards the end of this year. Now, if savings can be made, which we expect, because we already have been making some savings with the work to date on the stages, but if savings can be made across the entire $70 million project, or we're able to access some further funding, then a fifth stage of the project will take place, and this will include a 4.7 kilometre unsealed section known as the Ninji Nimble Creek, which is located between Mongalo River and Charlie's Forest Road.
Right.
So, and then that will complete the whole project.
Well, it sounds pretty good.
Yes, so, but some work to be done on the funding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that section that you were just talking about, I reckon, was the worst part of the road.
Yeah.
In terms of exactly. of roughness in those blind corners.
Yeah.
So I guess that'll involve a bit of a realigning of the road too, will it? Or?
Yes, realignment with some of those bends.
All right, so we're talking about roads. What about LaSalle Street, where we're up to with that?
Yeah, well, there was an update at the community meeting, of course, but this $800,000 project is just going through finalisation of design, and work will start very soon, following on from the current Ryrie Street pavement rehabilitation work. So I would think in the next 2 to 4 weeks, LaSalle Street work will begin.
Right. Oh, well, that'll be good because I'm sure that everyone drives down. Once the bit of Ryrie Street that's been in the process of being redone, once people drive down that and then turn into LaSalle Street, thinking the money should have been spent there first. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. All right. Of course, we've got those dangerous trees out on the King's Highway between Braidwood and the Showground jumping out again onto motorists as they're driving past. And we've got some barriers going up there at the moment.
That's right. They've started this week, Transport for New South Wales, the first stage of the safety improvement project with the installation to happen of guardrails to both sides of the King's Highway. This is, of course, just the northern approach to Braidwood, and work's going to be carried out, I understand, between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays for about 3 to 4 weeks, weather permitting, lane closures and traffic control. They're out there this morning.
Reduced
speed limit to 40 kilometres. Planting of the new Golden Poplar Avenue will start after the guardrail has been installed. I think they were intending for the community to have an opportunity to be involved in those plantings, as happened with the original planting of the poplars way back by the community. But the current health restrictions are going to prevent that. So it'll be interesting. I think they're going to make videos of the planting available to the community. They're going to be recording the planting, so you can go and view the plantings and what you want to do. But look, this is obviously contentious with some members of the community, and it's been a community planted avenue going right back. So
yeah, originally it was, and we actually some years ago, when I think before we became QPRC, when the speed limit was cut back to 80, there were some new plantings done on the between the existing trees and the fences. I guess this will be an extension of what was done then.
But I think what's good, you go back several decades, and it wasn't like, when they did these sort of things, they just come out and do it, and they're not necessarily replant and recreate. It was a different way of doing things a couple of decades ago, but now, these sort of works are undertaken more sensitively and in conjunction with the community and wanting to restore and even make things better than they were. And you didn't used to see that with a lot of roadworks, and they never really finished them off with proper landscaping and tree plantings, whether they're building bridges or new roads. But I think it's very impressive what they're doing now. And a case in point is the Ellerton Drive extension to the east of Queanbeyan, which is going to be open, I think, in about a month or so. You can walk along the edges of that now, along through the walking trails along the sides, the fencing, and observe it all. And what they've done about plantings and grassing of some very steep banks and culverts is very impressive.
Right. Yeah, it should be pretty good. Actually, I think people were actually able to plant their own tree or something or other from memory, but as I said, it's going back a few years now when that was cut back. All right, so it's time for your music, and who have you chosen today?
Oh, look, this goes back to 1931.
Right.
Gavin. But there's been over, I understand, 60 versions of this very popular song since. Everybody from Ella Fitzgerald to Dean Martin to Doris Day. But I think this has been the most popular version. I think it was late 1960s. Anyway, here's Mama Cass with Dream a Little Dream of Me.
All right.
Shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me, just hold me tight and tell me me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Leave all worries behind you, but in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
Yes, the fabulous Mama Cass. Great song. So, what did you choose that for any particular reason?
No. Rustled through the glove box of the car, and when I opened the glove box, about 20 CDs fell out all over the floor. So, right. We'll have that one, I thought.
Yeah, good choice. All right, so Wednesday's council meeting, our climate change action plan was on the agenda.
Yes, well, look, this is the first climate change action plan of the Queanbeyan-Palarang Regional Council, and really builds on the previous actions and initiatives in terms of sustainability by the former two councils. The drafts were exhibited, obviously, and we got a lot of comments. We received 72 submissions on those drafts. And just as background, the plans comprise two separate documents, the QPRC Council Operations Climate Change Action Plan and the QPRC Community Climate Change Action Plan.
Right.
And therefore the period 2020 to 2030, and set out a range of mitigation and adaptation actions for council and the community. Look, the major number of respondents we received, they were in support of the plans as proposed, but there were a number that felt that our targets in there weren't sufficiently robust, if I can put it that way. The plans that we have now adopted on Wednesday night suggest a sort of moderate pathway of energy reduction to potentially achieve a 40 to 45% reduction in emissions in 2030 as compared to 2017-18 levels. And a number of the submitters felt that a more aggressive, more ambitious program should have been adopted, like 90% reduction by 2030.
Wow.
The ACT government, I understand, has a goal of 90% reduction by 2040. And I think the current New South Wales government, I call it a target, but a goal, I suppose it's more a goal, is zero emissions by 2050. But I think these climate change action plans that we've adopted putting us on the right track and heading us in the right direction, because it all comes with a significant cost, of course.
Sure. You got to crawl before you can walk.
Yeah.
Or walk before you can run, really, if you want to take it a step further. So I think if you start off with a reasonable target, it becomes easier to achieve. And if it looks like you're getting some progress towards it, well, you can, you know, upgrade it and go for a bit more.
I know. There's a lot of things we can do with LED lighting across the local government area, with street lighting at a cost, but there are savings and energy savings and cost savings as a result of lower energy consumption. And council can also move to more solar panel installations on buildings, and we can look at our fleet to have far more efficient vehicles in terms of energy into the future.
Right.
But it's all got to be phased.
All right. Okay, so were there any Braidwood area specific reports?
Yeah, there were a couple of matters. We received a report on the extension of the contract for the provision of bulk waste bins and waste transport services at the Bungendore Resource Recovery Centre. Whilst that's Bungendore, council resolved also to commence a trial collection arrangement in Braidwood. So that's going to involve bulk residual waste from the Braidwood Waste Transfer Station to the Woodlawn Bioreactor out at Tarago, with a contractor to be Veolia. And also, in terms of bulk commingled recyclables from the Braidwood Waste Transfer Station. That trial is going to proceed, and that involves JJ Richards and Sons transporting to the Hume Materials Recovery Facility in the ACT. So it's about handling those types of products from the Braidwood Waste Transfer Station. There are a number of other matters. Cooma Road Tree Works. Since February, with the bushfires, council's engaged a company called Forest Tree Services to remove all those dangerous roadside vegetation as part of the bushfire recovery, funded through Commonwealth and State. And would you believe the supplier has undertaken now, to date, over $8 million worth of work, clearing those roadside vegetations as a result of the bushfire since February, and that's mainly along Araluen, Nerriga and Cooma Roads. But we had to stop the work along Cooma Road because there was no further funding available. So the Cooma Road vegetation removal works hasn't been completed and the road remains closed. But council resolved on Wednesday night, and this follows a government announcement to extend the funding for 90 days from the lifting of the Section 44 of Rural Fire Service, previously 21 days, 90 days. So we've got now a bigger time frame to complete those works with funding. So council resolved to not go out to re-tender, but because it's emergency services situation, we're entitled to extend the existing contract with Forest Tree Services. And that's what we resolved to do. So that work will now start and we'll get that Cooma Road opened. In regard to a report on the Tourism Advisory Panel, Council resolved to provide in principle support to a number of initiatives. Firstly, to the Capital to Coast Walking Trail, and we're wanting to seek $25,000. We will be funding to conduct a preliminary business case to formalise that walking trail in terms of being on the maps for people to be able to walk from Hoskinstown to the coast.
Right, okay.
Not involving any private property.
Right.
All through the national forest and, you know, all down the ranges. And
right.
Okay. Which is... there are those avid bushwalkers that do walk that now from time to time. Takes them 4 days.
Right.
But there'll be water stations and safety measures and signage and toilets, that sort of thing eventually. We also resolved to provide in principle support to the Braidwood Heritage Centre, which would be a terrific tourist attraction. And John and Stahl and Peter Smith both presented verbally at the council meeting in regard to that project. So we're going to consider the Braidwood Heritage Centre in the next delivery program, pending grant funding for the project. And so we'll be working with the local community and to secure that funding. So that was essentially the Braidwood key items.
Right. Well, that's pretty good. And I guess with going just back quickly back to that Coomer Road thing, with, you know, if you're using the same people and not doing the tender process, that's going to save you a significant amount of time, isn't it? Because you could just...
Saves time and we sort of were of the view, based on the advice we received from staff, that to go out for tender is probably going to cost more.
Right.
Delay the project.
Yeah. So. And these people already put a price in, I suppose, anyway, didn't they?
And we could run out of time with the 90 days.
Yeah. All right. Any other things that we need to talk
about?
Look,
I might just highlight bushfire recovery again. We're now moving towards 6 months of bushfire response and recovery, and we're at the stage now of really needing to check in on need and with each other.
All right.
To ensure no one has fallen through the gaps, and that's always the worry. So to this end, we're partnering with Service New South Wales and Resilience New South Wales to develop a short survey that will be delivered to everyone who's registered with the Queanbeyan Palarang Bushfire Recovery Assistance Point. And there are more than 270 people and families who have registered or sought assistance or advice from our recovery team. Now, I'm very much aware and sensitive to the fact that people have filled in a fair bit of paperwork and dealt with many agencies already, but we're going to start to filter through to the community next week, this coming week. And you'll be able to answer it on your computer, tablet or smartphone, or if you would prefer to complete the survey by phone or have a paper copy forwarded to you, please call the recovery number 6285 6789 and a member of our team will assist you. Look, it's a simple survey. It's just identifying what further needs our people who have suffered actually need, or to identify anybody who may have fallen through the gaps.
Right.
And so we just want to make sure we don't miss anybody. We'll be following up with phone calls, and these calls were made by our recovery support team in partnership with the Red Cross.
Right.
And just to give you an idea, we've had 270 people registered already. And in Bega Valley, they've had 1,900 registered.
Right.
Through their system, and they're doing a similar survey. So huge down at the coast. Draft operational plan, revenue policy, fees and charges for 2021. It's still out on exhibition until Monday. So if you haven't and you wish to make comment on all these projects in our draft operational plan and budget for next year, revenue, fees and charges, what are proposed, please do so over the weekend. So it's there by Monday afternoon.
All right. So just going back to that bushfire thing, we've got Gordon's doing a thing on Wednesday mornings and Friday mornings at 10:30, I think it was 11. Where are we? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and that's been quite successful. So
it's been very successful, yeah. And I know Terry Campisi and the team are very appreciative of the support they're getting in really trying to reach out to everybody through. Mm. Mm. Braidwood FM.
Yeah, and they had one really good one on a couple of weeks back with people talking about headspace, and you know, I actually replayed it because I thought it was pretty important for the young people that have been affected to know about some of the services that are out there.
Yes, so, indeed.
All right. Okay, well, you're back with us again Friday the 26th of June following the June meeting of council, and I'll let you go and enjoy your busy day with Mr. Barilaro.
Yes, I head out to Captain's Flat Road right now, then into Bungendore, and then back to Braidwood.
Right. All right.
Thanks, okay. Gavin.
No worries. Thanks, Tim.